Well, good morning and welcome to Local Matters. Our special guest today is Caitlin Salyer, the Director of Workforce Development for the Highlands Economic Partnership. Caitlin, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Dr. Bell, for having me.
Well, it's always great to see you and great to have you back on the show. Not everyone may know about you, though, so tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Okay, can do. Well, I'm an Upper Cumberland native, born and raised in Macon County and moved to Cookeville, gosh, almost 13 years ago to attend college at Tennessee Tech.
Go Tech.
Oh, yeah. And stayed. I loved it here, loved the area, was fortunate enough to get a job at Tech after I graduated. So I worked in the Student Affairs Department for a while before transitioning to my job with the Highlands.
And you've been in chamber-related activities with the Highlands now for some time.
Yeah, almost 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, time flies.
Time flies quickly. And you had a great tutor and mentor in Lillian Hartgrove, who you worked for before she retired. And now you've basically taken over Lillian's portfolio.
Yes. I miss her. It was so bittersweet. I was, you know, excited when the opportunity came to take on more leadership roles with the organization and with the workforce division. But she was just a tremendous colleague, mentor, friend. And so she retired in March of this year. And we definitely miss her there.
Well, we sure do. And she's still working hard for the state, works with the state board. In fact, I think is still chairman of the state board of education.
She is.
So she would almost say that's a full-time job, I'm sure.
It is. And when I ask her how retirement's going, she says, well, I don't necessarily feel retired, but she has a passion for this work and she's where she needs to be.
And she came out of industry, so she understands what workforce development is all about and what corporations need.
Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned that you work in the Highlands Economic Partnership. Tell us a little bit about that concept of the Highlands Partnership.
Okay. So it was founded in 2006 and under the umbrella of the Cookeville-Putnam County Chamber. And the primary goal or concept of the Highlands is to boost economic and community development across four counties that we partner with, which are Jackson, Overton, Putnam, and White, so all Upper Cumberland communities. And housed in the Highlands are four primary areas. So we have economic and community development, workforce development and education, legislative advocacy, and then our investor relations division.
And we could do a lot of good just talking about those four divisions and about the various things that the Highlands does or has done over this 15-year-plus period that it's been in existence. But it's produced some wonderful results. There have been some great job creation, certainly Academy Sports and Outdoors and Portobello and Ficosa and SAIC. All of those, and we can go to the neighboring counties and in Sparta or in White County, look at Harmon and go up to Hydrosair. That was their first name in the hydroponics plant in Overton County. Every county has benefited in one way or another. And I even think some of the things that were not economic development, but were clear regional development, like Cummins Falls, came partly because of the great cooperation between these four counties.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed, you know, in the time being here, I guess I've I'm ashamed to say, but I've lived in, you know, communities my whole life, and you just think things happen. You don't really necessarily think about how those things happen or who has to work and do what jobs to make sure that industry is coming to the area or businesses that are here are supported and expanding and getting the help that they need, or state parks are being developed. So to be on the inside now, to see all of the moving parts, but not only that, but to see how well our counties work together, you don't always see that. And so that's something that has impressed me tremendously since I've been working for the Highlands and seeing all of the key players and how they work together.
And I guess we've sort of gotten into football spirit, and that's a great example of regional cooperation. The TSSAA Blue Cross Bowl brings a lot of visitors and a lot of economic development to Cookeville.
Absolutely. We just wrapped that up, and I was so glad that we were able to do that again this year. I was so proud of all of the key players. We have a committee that works together to put that event on, Molly Brown and the Visitors Bureau, you know, making sure that we took the proper precautions this year to make it a safe event. But it brought a sense of normalcy and community in a time when we've desperately needed that.
We did. It's even the football games on television mm-hmm. make you feel a little bit like you're back in a normal mode.
Yes.
Well, and that's great. But I remember when we first proposed that TSSAA, when we made the bid down in Nashville for that, and it was truly a regional event. Coach Brown from Jackson County was there. There were coaches from football coaches from every county in the region, along with Tech and others. And it truly was a regional bid that, and I think that's what impressed the TSSAA is. These folks seem to cooperate up there.
They do. And it has just gotten better and better each year.
And so. The volunteers make such a difference,
oh,
don't they?
Oh, yes. So I think it's over 700.
Wow.
That they try to recruit. So for the 3 days that we're there, it's amazing.
And there's a lot of different things to be done, from mm-hmm. parking cars to working with the teams weeks in advance of the game to coordinate their schedules and make sure we've got reserved spaces for the buses and everything. It's a complicated thing. Ticket sales, you name it. And luckily, we had reasonably good weather. We had some rain this year.
Yeah, we did. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, though. So.
And we've had some years when it's been downright awful, I guess you could say. I remember one year when Mark Wilson and his crew were out there at daybreak on Saturday morning blowing snow and ice off of the field. And mm-hmm. they got the game off right on time. But it was, we've had some rough weather, luckily, this year. And we had some good games this year.
We did, yes.
So it's always good to celebrate the close of the football season, at least the close of the state high school championships. Now, Tech is just about to start thinking about opening its season, so mm-hmm. the OVC postponed most of their games till the spring, and so it's going to be a little different out at Overall Field this February and March and April, but that's just part of the times of this pandemic.
Yes.
Well, let's get into a bit more about what you do on a daily basis and sort of what you've been doing the last several years. Talk a little bit about the, particularly within the Highlands Partnership, the Workforce Development Initiative.
Absolutely. So big picture, kind of high level overview of what we do. We are an advocate for education and training programs across our region that develop a workforce that meets the needs of our employers in the area. And we do this through partnerships with K-12 school districts, post-secondary institutions, so Tennessee College of Applied Technology, Ball State, Motlow, Tennessee Tech, and then also other areas and area employers, so that we can establish programs that are building a pipeline of students that enter pathways that lead to in-demand and high-wage jobs in the area. And we do focus on some specific areas of industry specific or in businesses that are considered kind of hot jobs right now, and that's advanced manufacturing, health science, IT, and education. And we have committees for each of those where those partners come to the table. We talk about what the training programs look like, and are the students or the current workforce that's looking to reskill or add additional credentials to their resume, are they getting what they need to match the needs of employers? And we do this through a variety of programs that happen throughout the year. Of course, this year has looked a little bit different. We've either gone virtual or had to postpone some of our events, but a lot of what we do focuses on college and career awareness and preparedness. So we have an eighth grade career fair where we expose those students to career opportunities in the area prior to them having to pick a program of study in high school. We have speakers program, which you're part of, Dr. Bell, where guest speakers speak to middle school students about their education and career journeys, offer them some ideas, and have get those wheels turning pretty early. We have paid internship programs, YP Highlands, which is a young professional organization kind of meant to develop the young professionals in the area, and a lot of other things that we try to do to just better our workforce and better prepare the future workforce.
And it really is neat to see so many different kinds of folks from different backgrounds around the table. Industry is there, banking is there, healthcare is there, educators are there, the school superintendents are there to talk not just about training, but also about what they need in terms of teachers in the future.
Absolutely. And they all work so well together. You know, when I first started in 2017, this is always one of my favorite stories to share. And it really, I think, highlights how this work is so important. At some of our high schools, area high schools, they were offering coding and web design as in their information technology pathway, which is hugely important and a great, great pathway. But we did some surveys with area IT employers and found out that actually cybersecurity and networking were two big ticket items. And so throughout the process of this committee meeting, the schools now offer, specifically in Putnam County, all four of those pathways now, or programs within that pathway, and they do it through a dual enrollment opportunity with TCAT Livingston. So they provide the instructor, they're getting high school credit and credit for college at the same time. So that was such a cool thing to witness.
And that's a win-win when they can get both.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and continue talking about these pathways to prosperity. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Caitlin Salyer, and we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Education Matters. We are talking to Caitlin Salyer, the Director of Workforce Development at the Highlands Economic Partnership, affiliated with the Cookeville Chamber of Commerce. And we are talking about pathways to prosperity. Caitlin, you had mentioned the term pathways, and that's a program that the Highlands Initiative has been affiliated with for many years now, isn't it?
Absolutely. So when the program launched 2011-2012, we did this in partnership with Jobs for the Future and Harvard's Graduate School of Education. And so they were coming up with this concept called Pathways to Prosperity. And the idea is you bring all of these partners together, your K-12 school districts, your post-secondary institutions, and your area employers, and really look at the education and training programs that students are going through. And are they leaving those with the skill sets that they need to match what the employers are looking for when they're hiring? And so that's been a hugely successful program. And now they're doing this across the whole state. They're using us as a model. And there was another region in the state that also was able to do this, the Southwest. And so it's exciting to see how we started as two little regions doing this, and now the whole state has adopted the model.
And some of the leaders of the program were invited to Harvard University multiple times to talk about how a regional effort in rural communities could make a big difference. So I know I went one time, and the folks on our panel included Long Beach, California, and Chicago, two cities that are quite different than Cookeville and the Upper Cumberland or the Highlands region. Well, these pathways are clearly focused on jobs that are available here in the Upper Cumberland region, and they've led to new jobs, haven't they?
They have.
Advanced manufacturing, we've had a bunch of advanced manufacturing companies come in the last decade or so.
Right. So it's cool because we work with our economic development counterparts. I mean, all of this is economic development, but we kind of try to package some of this and divide and conquer, if you will, in our different divisions. But SAIC is a perfect example of establishing
yes.
an IT pathway. We did not have that. We had not been focusing really on that in great detail. It had been discussed, but our economic development partners were looking at trying to recruit the IT company here, but we knew we needed something that put us above the competing areas. And so establishing this pathway, this committee, and giving them a voice at that table to express what they're looking for, bringing in Tennessee Tech and TCAD and Ball State and Motlow, and showing them that our education partners were on board to produce the workforce that they're looking for, is what ultimately made us a successful area.
And has brought many, many job opportunities for our graduates, both high school level, but in SAIC's case, college level primarily, to come into the workforce here in the region. But these pathways aren't all about college graduates, are they? There's a lot of them that are right out of high school or some combination of high school and technical training. They may take a while before they move on to a college education.
Absolutely. We call them stackable credentials and on and off ramps. So we're trying to make sure, and a lot of students will leave high school with an industry certification. Sometimes they'll have their CNA licensure or credential. But let's say, I'll use health science as an example. They can complete their CNA either in high school or at TCAT. And then if they want to go on and get their associates in nursing, there's articulation agreements in place between those institutions saying that I go on to Ball State and I have the prior experience needed in education to be successful in their program. And then, of course, if they want to go on to get their 4-year or even master's in nursing, they can do that at Tennessee Tech.
So it truly is a pathway in the analogy is an interstate highway. They can jump on it and then work a couple of years or go to school a couple of years, jump off and do industry or do some more education and come right back on the on-ramp and head on further down that pathway. So it's great to see the coordination that's involved there. Now, the newest of those pathways in terms of the emphasis in the Highlands is education. And we've talked here with Corby King and with Grant Swallows, other school directors, about the ongoing need for teachers in the Highlands region. It's a great career path, a stable career path, and yet there's still great opportunity there.
There is, and I have so it's just something that I'm so passionate about to think about encouraging people to go into the education career sector. It's one of the most important jobs there is out there.
That's right.
You're preparing everyone for all of the other jobs available. And so just making sure that we're doing our part to highlight the importance of that career, to ensure that people understand that they are going to be making a huge impact in the lives of students, no matter what age range you're teaching, even if it's adults. And to also emphasize the importance of staying in this area and helping our students to be the very best that they can be through their education process. And so that that committee has been hugely successful in writing grants and finding opportunities to make sure that we're encouraging students to pursue their dreams, if that's what their dream is to become an educator.
And grandmother and granddad can still see the grandkids. They can stay right here in this area. There's, again, great opportunity great, stable career and doing really, really important work. And we can't talk about important work today without talking about healthcare heroes. Clearly, there are many, many jobs and job opportunities in the Highlands region for the healthcare pathway too. It just seems to me today we've just seen how important that pathway is, whether you're starting as a CNA or going on all the way through medical school and becoming a doctor or an advanced nursing practitioner.
Our healthcare partners are—they're some of our greatest partners in this work, in allowing students to come in very early on. And of course, again, this year it's been a bit different. We've had to be careful with that, but gaining some hands-on experience to really understand what they're most passionate about in the healthcare field. And we have—I know all of the schools that we work with have. Some tremendous students and a lot of students that are very interested in that pathway. And so I commend the schools, but I also commend the employers in the area for being a part of that education process and letting them see early on that that's something that they're passionate about.
Yeah, and it's not just one. Cookeville Regional Medical Center does a great job of coming to the table and offering guidance, but Livingston Regional Hospital, all of the hospitals around here, St. Thomas has been at the table from both Warren County and White County. And so it truly is a regional partnership.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. We are going to take a quick break and catch our breath and then come back for the third segment of the show. We are talking to Caitlin Salyer, the Director of Workforce Development for the Highlands Regional Partnership, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Education Matters. We are talking to Caitlin Salyer, the director of the Highlands Workforce Development Initiative inside the Highlands Economic Partnership. And Caitlin, we've talked a lot about what the Highlands is about, and particularly about some of the workforce development initiatives. But there's a special program launching in early February. The month of January is the time to get ready for it. And it is an exciting leadership development program. Tell us a little bit about the Highlands Leaders Seminar.
Okay. So I mentioned earlier that sometimes we live in communities and these things happen, new businesses come or they expand, and we don't always think about how that happens or who the key players are in making that happen. And so Highlands Leaders is a program designed to allow people to understand that process, but also get them involved in economic and community development in their region. And we do that through a series of seminars that highlight some of the areas that we cover in the Highlands Economic Partnership, but also areas that we have colleagues or counterparts under the umbrella of the chamber, so tourism, healthcare, things like that. And so it's really to just engage our community and those who participate in the class with those efforts and hopefully get them involved and they can participate in the future.
And it's not just young folks. We'd love to have, in fact, most of the classes have had a really diverse age range and a diverse set of experiences, some who are new to community kind of activities and others who've been involved for many years.
Yes, the program is designed for everyone, young professionals, seasoned professionals. We've had people who are new to the area and just want to meet people and learn how they can get more involved. So they take this class or participate in this class, and it's a great way to make friends, make work connections, business connections, and learn how to get involved in the community.
And we've had folks like county executives participate as students in the program. And they also come back and speak in the program and talk about their kind of experiences.
Yes. The more diverse the class, the better, honestly. It makes it more meaningful, and you learn a lot more.
And the whole objective is to get these participants engaged even further than they may already be in the regional development program.
Absolutely. We have many of our graduates in some capacity will come back. And I know I have some that serve now. We went through the class together and now they're on some of our pathways committees or Highlands committees, you know, at various levels. And so or serving on boards in the community.
Yeah,
so
some it's a have great gone on way to be county commissioners.
Yeah, absolutely. So there it's a great way for them to get connected.
It absolutely is. Well, talk just a moment about how people are typically nominated for this program or how they find out more about whether it would be good for them.
So we send out a series of emails to former class participants, community leaders, with a nomination link. So there is a form where people can nominate others, or if you're interested yourself in participating, you can nominate yourself. That's okay too. We'll also share links out on social media. Now, I will say we cap the class generally at that 30 to 35 range, and we do try to offer it initially to those who live in our four partner counties, but we will open up if we do have some seats available to other individuals. But once that nomination, and the nomination process is easy. It's basically just submitting their name, contact information, and where they work. So we know how to then let them know they've been nominated and get them to register for the class. But it's an easy process to be nominated.
And this coming year, because of the COVID environment, you're looking at a largely virtual seminar. And that's going to be challenging in some ways, but it will actually let us bring in speakers who might have not been able to drive to Cookeville in other environments or to Gainesboro. So we may actually get a different set of speakers, maybe from a higher level of government than we've had in some cases.
Yes, yes. It does open, you know, you want to get together and be in person. That's always the ideal way, but I think it's important that we move forward, and the committee agrees. It's important to move forward and, you know, start virtual and with the hope that in time you can maybe transition to in-person if people feel comfortable doing that. But the silver lining, like you say, in being virtual is you can bring in speakers from anywhere. If it fits with their schedule, there's no drive time, they log in, they speak. And so I hope that we can get the class connected with some pretty awesome people.
I've already talked with one of my former students who happens to be on the governor's cabinet, Commissioner Mark Ezell from tourism. We always, with Molly Brown's help and others, get some great tourism speakers. But I think we're going to have a really good program there and in other areas this coming year. Well, talk about deadlines just a minute. When should folks let you know if they're interested?
The nomination process will be open. It's open now, and little by little, we're sending this out to people. But it will be open through mid to late January. Of course, the program begins early February, so we want to make sure we have an idea of numbers before that. As far as the actual registration process, that will open up early January, really the beginning portion of January. We did have a 2020 class that we had to cancel, so we did promise them first dibs, so they'll get the opportunity to sign up, and then once we communicate with them, then it will go out to the general public to register. And I hope we can be flexible with that, with it being virtual. There's not as much paperwork and binders that we have to put together for this class. So hopefully we can be pretty flexible. But end of January is when I would like to see that process of registration being completed.
Yeah, normally we'd be looking at a pretty complete class by that point.
And yes.
We hope that will be true this time. Well, let's dive a little deeper into some of the topics that are covered in this. You said earlier a lot of people don't understand too much about how things happen. So one of the things that happens in this class is called Economic Development 101, and it sort of takes you from the very genesis of a project through all the things, many of which are confidential in the early stages, all the way up to the announcement and then the rollout of the workforce development program from there. So let's talk a bit about Economic Development 101.
We will have, so for Economic Development 101, we'll bring in our economic development team at the Highlands, and also our partners at the state level as well, and partners from Tennessee Valley Authority, TVA. And they will talk about from the very beginning when RFPs, requests for proposals are sent out, and what that process looks like, down to identifying if it's a building or land, what the infrastructure of a particular space needs to look like, power, is there water. And we actually do a really cool project with the class, The Art of the Deal, and they'll actually get to go through the process of kind of identifying, here's a company, here were the locations they were looking at, which one did they choose and why? And so it kind of gives them a pretty good look into what that process looks like, especially when you have minimal information potentially about what a particular company or business is.
Yeah, early in the process, if you get a business card at all, it will be a coded business card, Project Bottle, maybe. Mm-hmm. And Bottle happened to be SAIC, I believe. And again, for many months, we don't know who this company is usually. So that's an exciting part of the art of the deal. But that's just one leg. Tourism is another leg. And in typical years, we go to Jackson County for tourism.
Yes, we'll bring in, again, local, regional, and sometimes state partners. Hopefully this year we'll be able to bring Commissioner Ezell in to talk about tourism in the area and the impact that it has on all of us, the revenue from occupancy taxes, what that means. A lot of people, and of course, Molly could always explain this better than I, but it does impact the amount of taxes we pay as residents.
It does.
And so she has the exact numbers. I don't want to get that wrong. But tourism has a huge impact on our economy here. And so we always love to bring those partners in.
Yeah, we can look at TSSAA and see the impact of, typically in a given year, all the motel nights, all the restaurant nights, the gas stations, you just name it, there's major impact there. Well, we've talked about education and healthcare in at least to some degree, but in a typical year in healthcare, students would go to Cookeville Regional Medical Center. They might get to drive a robot. They'd get to see the cancer center and many of the advanced programs that go on there. Couple of the other things that go on, though, in this program are things called advocacy and community engagement. Talk a little bit about that program.
That program introduces participants to, we've previously called it public policy. We've transitioned to calling it legislative advocacy. But if there is a program or a business, or today we've talked with education partners, in fact, about some of their needs that would need to be addressed at state, local, federal level. And so we show them the process. And the example traditionally has been Calf Killer Brewing out yes. of Sparta, White County. They'll talk about the steps they had to take with legislators to make it, to get the approval to start brewing and distributing and bottling and all of that. And so it's a really cool class. And you do learn a lot about what that process looks like. And then community development and engagement. We want the class to get to know more about nonprofits in the area, places where they can volunteer and give back.
Tell everyone how they can contact you if they're interested.
The best way to contact me is at the Cookeville-Putnam County Chamber of Commerce, and the phone number is 931-526-2211.
And we would encourage everybody to get involved in this Highlands Leaders Seminar. We have been talking today to Caitlin Salyer, the Director of Workforce Development for the Highlands Economic Partnership. And Caitlin, it's been great to see you again. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Dr. Bell.
Thanks for being here.